It's almost here.
3 days, and Christmas has arrived. For many, it is kind of the highlight of the year. For many, it can be a difficult time. Regardless of where you are on that spectrum, it is almost here. For some of you, there is still excitement. For some of you, you're ready. I mean, you're like ready to be there, right? Right. Well, the waiting is almost over. And you know, waiting, it's hard to do. There are times where waiting is a really difficult thing to do. I remember as a kid, waiting for Christmas was hard, especially as all the presents began to accumulate under the tree and the ones specifically with my name on them. I was told not to touch them. You know, because I knew if I touched them, that was it. Like, paper was coming off, you know. It was hard. Waiting was hard for me as a child. Waiting can be very exciting, but it can be challenging. It can be really hard to do. Waiting on Christmas can be a hard thing for us to do. Waiting on family to come in and spending time with friends, that can be hard. Or maybe not. I don't know. Waiting can be challenging. Waiting for things to happen. Waiting for those traditions to occur. Waiting is tough. And then there's the waiting of all of this time leading up to Christmas in lines, in traffic, waiting to check out with your buggy or your bag. Waiting. That can be really tough. And then for me, early in the morning, like waiting on my turn to order my coffee, in which I'm in desperate need of early in the morning. Ooh. Now, it's waiting on my coffee where things can get intense. All right, so waiting can be tough, especially when it comes to the coffee. But waiting and being difficult to wait on things, it goes way beyond just the holidays. Waiting can be difficult in other times of our lives. Waiting on those test results to come back. Waiting on that scan to be read. Waiting there in the hospital for the doctor to come in and share a report. Waiting on a word about your job or a word about that new position. It can be tough. Waiting on that college acceptance letter. It can be challenging. Waiting on your retirement day. That can be tough to wait on that. Waiting on your first child to be born. That's exciting, but boy, that can be some tough waiting. Or waiting on your first grandchild. Waiting for your wedding day. I mean, all of these things are things that involve waiting. And there can be excitement in it. There can be some dread in it. But I can tell you that all forms of those waiting can be tough. Because it's in between the here and the then. And sometimes there's a lot of unknown there. And things can happen in the unknown. And that can be challenging. That can be really tough. And of course, then there's the waiting at a larger level. The waiting for things to just finally be made right in this world. For things to be in order here in our community or in our nation or between nations of our world. Waiting for things to be made right. Waiting for leaders to step up and make good decisions. Sometimes that is hard waiting. Waiting can be tough. It's hard to do. Which brings us to the story at hand for this season. The story of Christmas. Joseph, we're going to read today from the Gospel of Matthew. Four Gospels, only two of them talk about the birth of Jesus. Luke, and Matthew. Luke, we always save for Christmas Eve. And I know Miss Frankie always does a great job telling the story of Luke, of Jesus' coming into this world. Matthew has a slightly different perspective. Matthew focuses in on Joseph. And Joseph is waiting. He's waiting before he finds out even that there is a baby on the way. How do we know he's waiting? Well, if you look in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it reads, "This is how the birth of Jesus took place when Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph." There it is. Engaged. Joseph is waiting. Waiting to get married. I guess Mary's waiting too. But waiting in the midst of the engagement. Joseph is waiting. And that can be really hard to do, to wait for that day. But what you need to understand about engagement in Jesus' day is it was very, very different than engagement today. Engagement today is wrapped up in romance, wrapped up in excitement. Engagement, we post it on social media. We can't wait to call our family and to call our friends that it has happened. In fact, this season, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, a very popular day to become engaged. Engagement is exciting. It's romantic. It is something that we celebrate big time in our culture. Not in Jesus' day. That's not what engagement was about whatsoever. There was nothing romantic about engagement. In fact, engagement was a legal transaction. Engagement was an arrangement. It was a business deal between one father and another father. It was something that was negotiated between two families. That's what an engagement was, an arranged marriage. And this could happen early on. I mean, the two people who were legally bound to one another and engaged, it could happen to them when they were 9, 10 years old. Yeah, it could happen that early. And then they would have to wait. They have to wait until they were of age. Wait until they could get married. So engagements could go for years. And it wasn't something that you got to choose. It was done for you. And so you had to wait. And so Joseph and Mary, we find out right from the get-go in this first verse that Matthew talks about the birth of Jesus, they are engaged. We don't know how long they've been engaged. They could have been engaged for years. We're not sure, but they're engaged. And now they're waiting. Waiting can be tough. But then let's finish out verse 18. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Uh-oh. Here, Joseph has been waiting for the day that he gets to marry Mary. And a crisis happens right in the middle of it. In the middle of the waiting, which was already tough, then she shows up pregnant. Now, Joseph doesn't know how this has happened yet. All Joseph knows is Mary is starting to show she is pregnant, and you can imagine what began to happen at that point. You can imagine what was going on in his mind. I mean, anytime we're in a place of waiting, we begin to go all kinds of crazy in our brain. I mean, we can develop the worst case scenarios when we are in the midst of waiting. Waiting is tough. And so now, here he is waiting, and then all of a sudden, she shows up pregnant. Can you begin to imagine what some of the thought processes were that started coursing through his brain? And then the emotional responses to all of that. Waiting is tough. And so, Joseph finds out she's pregnant while they're engaged. They haven't been married yet. What is he to do? I want to go on to verse 19. It says, Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. I want to pause right there. The Bible describes Joseph as a righteous man. This means that he was a man after God's heart. He was a man who knew the Bible. He was a man that practiced his faith. He was a man that sought to do what was right, just in the very word, righteous. He sought what was right, what was good. This was the nature of this man named Joseph. But even in the midst of that, I mean, we can be like the best people in the world, but in the middle of the waiting and some crisis happens like that, all of a sudden, sometimes we can go haywire. I mean, we can pull a Will Ferrell in the back of the coffee line, you know? We can lose it. As a pastor, I can tell you, I have seen many people lose it when something happens. I watched a man one time walk right out on his family and move to another country, and they never heard from him again. Waiting's tough. And then when a crisis happens, you never know what's next. So what do you do when you're waiting? Well, one thing, you could go and start talking to somebody about it. I mean, you could go get family members, you can go get some friends and say, what do I do? I mean, you've heard about Mary, haven't you? What should I do? We go to family, we go to friends, we go to the people that we work with. And when we have a crisis, when waiting has become tough, when we're not sure what to do, a lot of times we'll go to others and we'll say, give me some advice. I need to talk to you. Maybe you go to your counselor, you ask for advice there. Whatever it is, we go to people and we start asking, hey, can you come to coffee with me? I need to get some stuff out. I need your advice on something. Maybe you go to your hairdresser and you talk there. Be careful doing that. But sometimes we do that. Waiting is tough, especially when a crisis happens. Now, Mary and Joseph, they lived in the town of Nazareth. And from archaeological digs and from historians who would write about different places and locations around Jesus' day, we believe, to the best of our abilities of discerning all of those sources, we believe that the town of Nazareth was about 500 people. That was the population. So look around the sanctuary. Maybe fill in not all, but a lot of the other chairs, and you got the entire town of Nazareth right here. Now, when something happens, like Mary, a young girl who's engaged but not married, never been married, when she shows up pregnant, what happens? Everybody knows. And so Joseph, I mean, does he go and talk to somebody? Who can he trust? Who's on his side? What do they know about Mary? What has Mary done? Who knows what? I mean, he is probably racked with stress and uncertainty and not knowing what direction he needs to go. Maybe he went to some friends. Maybe he went to some family. I don't know. But I can only imagine how difficult it was. Joseph was in a tough spot. So, what should he do? Some people might say, well, you know what? I know there's all this gossip going around, and I know you're hearing this and you're hearing that, but let me tell you, I think you probably ought to just go to the Bible. Go to the Bible, and it'll give you some good answers. And again, the scripture says he was a righteous man. He was a man who was after God's heart. He probably knew the Bible, probably knew it very well. And if he wasn't sure exactly what the Bible had to say about what to do with this situation with Mary, he probably had some people speaking into him as to what to do. So, you know, it's always good advice. Go to the Bible, see what the Bible has to say about it. So, what does the Bible have to say about the situation? In Deuteronomy 22, it says, you shall take her, the one who has shown up pregnant while engaged but not married. You're to take her try her, and if found guilty, take her to the house from which she was raised, and stand her there in the doorway, and you are to stone her to death. Well, that's what the Bible says. I have no doubt that Joseph knew this. And maybe if he didn't know it immediately, I have no doubt that someone in that town is like, well, what you need to do is what the Bible tells you to do here. Now, we can talk about the Bible from our perspective today. You got to remember, this is before Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. There was no such thing as what we call the New Testament. All they had was the Hebrew Bible, what we would call the Old Testament, the Tanakh. That's what he had to go to. And there aren't a whole lot of real positive things that you can find in there as to how you should navigate this situation. So, he could have gone to friends. He could have gone to family. He could have gone to the Bible. He could have gone to all of these sources trying to figure out, what do I do here? I mean, this is messed up. What do I need to do? What, God, what do you want me to do? A man after God, a man to do, seeking to do what is right, a righteous man. What should I do? Have you ever been in the middle of a really, really difficult situation? And you're trying to find out what the best decision is here? You know, I got a book on my shelf, speaking of going to the Bible, which I want to tell you, going to the Bible is a very, very important and number one place you need to go and look. But sometimes we need help when we go to the Bible. I have a book on my shelf that's called The Bible Tells Me So. And it is a book that describes all kinds of situations throughout history that have justified why people have done some of the things they've done based on scriptures and the Bible. You know, we can kind of cut up the Bible and we can cut out certain passages and we can justify making sure that women are oppressed. I don't see any women here with head coverings on today. But the Bible says that. So, I mean, we can go there and we need to go there, but we also need some help in going there. And I can imagine that Joseph was in the middle of that, and he's trying to do what is right. And so the scripture goes on to say, Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man because he did not want to humiliate her. You know, the whole trial thing would have been a humiliation. So much shame would have been brought onto her. So much guilt could have been thrown on her. And punishment could have led to death. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, but because he didn't want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly. If you go and read that Deuteronomy passage, there's nothing real quiet about how she's to be treated. It's pretty cut and dry. And it's easy for us to miss in this one verse, to dismiss her, to let go of the engagement quietly. It's easy to miss the fact that he is doing a right and holy thing here. He is trying to practice grace. He is trying to practice mercy. And he is trying to practice kindness, because that is his understanding of who God is. That is the nature of our God. Full of kindness and mercy, desiring to forgive us quicker than we can sin. That is who our God is. Our God is a God of love, and this is the lens in which Joseph is trying to deal with this situation, and he doesn't know what to do, and he knows what the Bible says he's justified in doing. But he's seeking after God here. He's seeking to understand a word from God on what to do in the midst of all of this that is righteous, That's good. And so without any other ability to discern what he needs to do in the moment, he decides to let her go quietly. He doesn't want to bring her hurt. He doesn't want to bring her shame. He doesn't want to bring pain to her or to her family or to others. He tries to let her go quietly. Joseph was a righteous man, and he chose to deal with this situation through the lens of God's love. The fourth Sunday of Advent is a Sunday in which we remember that God's love has come to us in Jesus. And the scripture that was read while lighting the Advent wreath this morning, it states, God is love. Anything that is not of love is not of God. And I have to imagine that that is part of the lens that Joseph was trying to see this entire situation through, was a lens of love, which reflects the mercy and kindness and grace of our God. And so the best way he knew how to do that was to just dismiss the engagement quietly. And at that moment, when that happened, when he sought God first, when he sought the heart of God in the midst of the waiting, in the midst of the trial, and in the midst of the difficulty, that's when God spoke in. As he was thinking about this, of calling off their engagement quietly, as he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us." I tell you, when you're seeking God in the midst of the challenges of life, when you're seeking God in the middle of the waiting, when you are seeking God when things are tough, somehow, some way, God comes to us. Came to Joseph through an angel in a dream and was able in that moment to say, "Joseph, this is what you need to do." I love it when I get that kind of clarity from God. It doesn't happen all the time. I'm gonna be honest. And just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean my clarity is any better than yours. I have my own struggles of hearing God's word being spoken into my life. But I know that if I'm seeking God, God will somehow, some way, sometimes I have to rattle my head to wake me up to what it is that I need to do. And God will do that. When Joseph woke up, he did just as the angel from God had commanded, and he took Mary as his wife, as God commanded him. "You're going to be the one in charge of my son. You're going to raise him up. You're going to teach him how to be a carpenter. You're going to care for him. You're going to help Mary change his diapers. You're going to do the work of a father. He's from me. He's from my spirit. But you're the one that gets to raise him." What an honor. And I am so glad that Joseph, instead of doing what he could have done, I'm so glad he sought after God, the heart of God, the love of God. Love that came down at Christmas. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray.